Okay, good morning to everyone. Now, it's good for us to be together to read out of God's Word. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful. Thankful because of your goodness, because of your grace and your mercies bestowed upon us. Lord, we are not deserving anything, and still, you are giving it to us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you for that. Thank you that through your Spirit you've worked faith in us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that through your word you will encourage us today, and that we can learn more and more about you and from you, so that we can love you more dearly. Please, Lord, speak to us, because we need you to speak to us. We need you to help us to listen. Thank you, Lord. In your name we ask it. Amen. Let us read from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Last time I spoke about Revelation 4, and we've seen the open door that we can enter into heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen him on the throne in total control. He's the one in control. And actually chapter 5 is continuing that same vision and showing us a little bit more. Revelation 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and looked and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and your blood, by your blood, you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voices of many angels, numbering myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is God's word. Now, last week we've seen the picture of the throne and everything around it. And as I've said, this one is continuing with that. And we are living in a world where we can many times think, who is in control? Is it the devil? Is it the government? Is it the Illuminati? Is it some secret organization? Who is in control? Sometimes it seems even as if things are out of control. Sometimes it seems as if we will not reach where we think we will reach. And then this passage is giving us courage and giving us hope. Because God is in control. But more than that, Christ is the one unfolding everything that must happen. I want to just say three things to you today. The first thing is there is a question. And secondly, there is an answer. And the third one is, they worship Him. They worship Him. That's the three things. Our theme is, the Lamb is glorified. The Lamb is glorified because He can execute these three. He can execute these three. So here it is. The heavenly person is asking, verse 2, a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? That's the question. Who can open the scroll? Who can break the seals? Now, if I can just say something about the book. The book roll, now there's many things that one can say about it. But let me say, my choice is that it's a scroll. And this scroll has been sealed with seven seals. It has been sealed because the things has not yet been revealed. It is sealed because that what is in it is true. It is secure. It is what must happen. It's like a will. I hope those of you that got something as a will. Because if you die without a will, your family is in problems because the government takes control. So you must have a will to say, when I die, this must happen to my book, and this must happen to my shoes, and this must happen to my whatever. You must have a will. But the will is secure, that the will is signed by witnesses. Now in those days they've signed it with seven witnesses to make sure that it is truly is the real one. And that's the image that John is using here. It is the will that is being sealed with seven seals. And it has been written on both sides. Now in those days the will has been written on the one side and the summary was given on the other side. But here it is saying it was written within and on the back. So on both sides, normally they just wrote on one side of a scroll. But this one was written on both sides. So it is the full plan. It is all the knowledge. It is everything that must happen. That is what the image wants to give to us. Now this book, we can say, it's God's plan. It's God's plan of judgment and redemption. As we read in the Bible, before creation, God has made His plans. And His plans, nothing can thwart His plans. His plans is going. And this book roll is the symbol of that, of the judgments and the redemption of what must happen. And what already started to happen. So now, God is sitting with this book roll in his hand. And the voice is asking, who can take it? So who has the authority to open it? Because the one that's opening it must have the power to fulfill it, to bring it to consummation. So it's not just anyone that can do that. It is one that has power, that has authority, that can take it. So in that book, everything is written that what God wants to happen in this world. And then we see that angel is asking the question. Now just look at it. The angel proclaimed with a loud voice. So it was heard everywhere. No one was left out of chance. They've all heard. Anyone could have come forward. But it is saying, no one in the heaven. So no angel stepped forward. No archangel stepped forward. And even Abram in heaven, even Moses, even Noah, no one stepped forward in heaven. No one on earth. No one on earth stepped forward. No one under the earth, no demon, no devil stepped forward to say, I'll take it. So no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. No one. And then we see that John, verse 4, and I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to look into it. Now look there. He was not weeping in his pillow, softly crying, you know, sometimes we are crying in our pillows, not softly. He was weeping loud. He was crying out. Because no one is there to have the authority to open it. No one has the power to open it. No one has the power to unroll the history. And he's crying. Because what about the church? What about him? He was on the island of Patmos as a prisoner. What about him? What about the suffering? Is he just going to continue and continue to suffer? Because there's no one that is taking the scroll. But then there's an answer. The question is, who? Who can open it? But then there's an answer. One of the elders said to me, verse 5, weep no more. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. So he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So one of the elders stepped forward and said, no, John, don't cry. Because there is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You remember in Genesis when Jacob was blessing his sons, when he came to Judah, he said, you'll be like a lion. There will come someone from you. The stump in Isaiah, from which the Messiah will come. So he said, look what he said. That one, he has conquered. He has conquered. It's not something that he must still conquer. He has conquered. On the cross, he conquered. With his death and his resurrection, he conquered. And he is the one that can take the scroll. He is the one that can let the redemption and the judgments of God come to fulfillment. And then, like the song that we've seen, verse 6 it is saying, and between the throne, the four living creatures, so there was the living creatures, I saw a lamb standing. So the lamb was there. Now, he was hearing about the lion. He was hearing about the root of David. Now you see a lamb. That's why the song is saying, who could think that the lamb could save us? But now you see the lamb standing there on the throne. And he's standing on the throne, as the other parts of scripture is saying, Christ is standing on the right side of God. So he was standing there. And remember now, the lamb, as though it had been slain, but it was standing. So it's alive. It's not dead. It was killed, but it's alive. So the lamb was standing there, the one that conquered. And he conquered by dying on the cross. So to become the lion, to receive the power, he died. Can you just see what great thing happened on Golgotha? What Christ did there, everything changed. He conquered. Everything changed. Although it was promised right through the Old Testament, everything changed there. And that's why we're living in the last days. Because from the time of Christ's first coming to the second coming, that's the last days. We're living in the last days. And in these last days, Christ that has started there to unfold the plan is going to continuously unfold his plans. The plans of God. He is the one stepping forward. Stepping forward. He's alive. And he's taking the book roll from God. But this lamb is special. We see it got seven horns. Now the horns is a symbol of power. And if it is saying got seven horns, it means he has perfect power. He got seven eyes, referring to the Spirit. The Spirit of God, referring back to Zechariah. The seven spirits, the perfect spirit, not an evil spirit, not an ancestral spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And it's working through the Lamb. We read in the Bible, it was the Spirit of Christ. Yes, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of Christ. He took it in his right hand. He took it from the right hand. The right hand is the symbol of power, no? The powerful hand. He took it from the right hand, from God sitting on the throne. He is taking the scroll. And God is giving it to him. Because he is worthy. He has the authority. He has died. He has been resurrected. He is the one that can fulfill the history. You know, if we realize that, then we can sigh a relief. That we can say, the history is in his hands. He conquered. Things is not running out of control, although it seems like it. It's not out of control. God, Christ Jesus, is controlling it. He has conquered. And he's just busy unfolding the things as it's going. Nothing is out of control. He is in control. And then look. So there is the question, who will open it? And then the answer, Christ Jesus. And then worship. Look at verse 8. When he has taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding the harp and the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Can you see our prayers are there? Our prayers are there before the throne. Our prayers are brought before God, before the Lord, which brought them. They fell down and they sang a new song. Every time throughout scripture when a new song is sang, then it is when there is victory, when there is conquering, when there is a new creation. That's what's happening here. They sing a new song. They say, what Christ did, that's new, that's fresh, that's powerful, That's controlling everything. They say, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open the seal. So you can take the scroll. You have the authority. You have the power to look into it. You have the power to bring it to fulfillment. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. You ransomed people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation. Wonderful. When Abram was chosen, he was chosen to be the forerunner of Christ, the nation of Israel. But now it's expanding. Although there at Genesis 12 it was already God's plan for all the nations. But here it's now for everyone. Not just black, not just white, not just Indian, not just color. Everyone. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. Not to say it's all people, but it's not excluding anyone. From everyone, Christ saves his people. But look then, they worship him, and verse 10, they will make a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. In Exodus 19, God is also saying, I make you, Israel, a kingdom of priests. And here he is saying, we, you have made them, those that have been saved. If you are saved, that's you. You have been made a kingdom and priests of God. Is that what you are? A priest to sacrifice yourself. A priest to give everything to God. A king to rule over sin through his spirit. Are you a priest and a king for him because you are saved? Because that's what you've been made through him that died on the cross. And he says in verse 11, he says, I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders, and the voice of many angels, and they say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. All those millions of angels, they called out, you are worthy. What are we calling out day by day? What are we calling out with our thoughts? Of what we read, what we look at, what we are speaking about. Is it bringing glory that our Savior is worthy because He is the one unrolling history, even my history, even your history? He's unrolling it. He has all power. Is that how we are living in worship? Are we living in sin? Living in fear? And I heard every creature in heaven, verse 13, every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and the sea, all say, to him who sit on the throne and the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Can you see? Those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, everyone. Everyone. That's what other places are saying. Everyone will bow the knee at the end. Everyone. He's saying, to him who sits on the throne, be blessing, honor, and glory forever and ever. And the four living creatures are saying, Amen. Are you also saying, Amen? Because he's worthy. I can be just the king and the priest for him. Because he has appointed me as king and priest. He has appointed you, if you are a Christian, you have been saved by Christ. You have been appointed as a king and a priest. And we can live that because he is worthy. The question is, who can take it? The answer is Christ. Because Christ is the sinless one He shared our humanity. He shared our weakness. Not our wickedness, our weakness. He shared it. But he conquered. He died on the cross. When he was crucified, they laughed at his kingship. They put a mock robe on him. They put a mock crown on him. They mocked him. But he is the king. And every knee shall bow. Everyone will sing and say, "You have the glory. You are worthy." The answer is the Lamb took the scroll. He is the one unfolding it. He is the one that receives authority from God. He is the one that breaks the seals. He is the one putting into action God's plan. Are you sharing in this heavenly worship here on earth already? Because look what he's saying in verse 10. Eh? He's saying, "And they shall reign on earth." Now, I know it also showed you a future, but it also showed you something of the yet and the not yet. There's something of it already true now. Are you reigning with Christ? Are you saying amen? You may believe in Christ as the Creator, because he is the trusted Redeemer. He is the one that died. And if you do not belong to Christ, he is standing at the door and he's knocking. He is saying, "Come to me. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wickedness. You're not turning from it in this world. You're not bowing your knee in this world. You will bow it one day. But on this stage, God is calling you, inviting you to come to him." There's a question. Who? There's an answer. Jesus Christ. And there's a result. We all must worship him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are in control and not other forces. Although in this world many people are thinking they are controlling everything, but Lord, we know you are the one in control. But Lord, we also realize that as you died to conquer, you suffered to conquer. And therefore, Lord, we all realize that even us, for us, there is suffering, difficulties to conquer. It's not easy. And Lord, let us just look at you. Let us just hold on to you, because you are our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we may know the one that has the book roll in his hand. The one that is breaking the seals. The one that is opening it and executing the judgment, the judgments and redemptions from God. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. Be with the students. Lord, encourage our students to hold on to you. To be faithful in their studies and to persevere and to continue to love you, to grow more and more in you, not to be satisfied, Lord, with themselves, but always to reach out to you more and more. Thank you for your Spirit working in each one that's yours. And even, Lord, if there's some that's not yours, work in them as well, that you'll draw them to you by your love. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name.